This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the Players Place.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Friday. Our thanks again to Darren Smith, always elevating the conversation. You brought up, of course, at the end, the big decisions Mike Schilt's going to have to make when Jackson Merrill comes off the injured list, maybe as soon as tomorrow, maybe on Sunday, but he's certainly trending toward a return. There's just not enough spots in the lineup. This isn't Little League. You can't bat 11 or 12 guys. You've got to choose nine.
Adult League, yeah. I have to bat 12 sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Everyone gets to bat. You don't
not
play
always.
In the field, though, right? There's only
always.
Nine out in the field.
Correct.
Okay. Just making sure.
You don't want to hurt feelings.
So Mike Petriello from, he's from Baseball, where is he from? He's one of the baseball stat gurus online, had a thread this morning about Luis Arraez in the second hole. He's one of the national guys who's kind of made it his mission to kind of poke at the San Diego Padres and Mike Schilt for the continued batting of Luis Arraez. And
I know a lot of... He's got no skin in the game, right? He's not a Padres fan.
He's not a Padres fan.
I think he's just a Yankees fan, actually.
You know, but a lot of Padres fans who believe Luis Arraez should be either hitting lower in the order or coming off the bench have pointed to Mike. And he said this morning, the two spot in the order has gained a ton of priority over the last decade as it's become a spot for your best hitter. San Diego has just six home runs there. That's the fewest in a decade from any team out of the number two spot in their order. He says Kyle Schwarber hit nearly as many two-spot home runs in 3 hours last night as San Diego has in the past 5 months of the season. And Mike got a response from a Padres fan who said, brother, I beg you to understand Mike Schilt is being stubborn. Padres fans know this is inefficient. Schilt doesn't care. Mike says, I know, but when I don't say it for a while and then I do, I get a ton of San Diego fans saying, oh, national person finally taking notice. And no, I'm always noticing. It's interesting because mathematically you certainly can make a very convincing argument about that. Now, I don't know why we started taking shrapnel on this thread. Did you see this?
No.
The guy mentioned Ben and Woods just asking Schilt. He said, I think on a San Diego level, it's basically the daily discussion. Anytime Ben and Woods asks Schilt about it, he uses a bunch of old school baseball excuses. And then someone else jumped in. The Riskmeister tweeted, Mike Schilt has tons of baseball knowledge along with his coaching staff. While Steven Woods and Ben Higgins have never grabbed a bat to hit a 90-plus mile-an-hour baseball pitch and own no
False.
Knowledge of fundamental baseball.
False.
This is why Schilt is the manager and Wood, Ben are nerds.
Wood, Ben are nerds.
Wood, Ben are nerds.
So number one, that's not accurate.
No, I am a nerd.
You are a nerd.
You're not really a nerd.
And
you actually do swing the bat. And
yeah.
I think both of us have some knowledge of fundamental baseball.
I don't see that comment, meaning he's blocked me or I've blocked him.
It's possible.
One of the two, which is sounds like it was probably the right move. hey, man, again, national baseball writer, not Ben and Woods, not anybody else. Like, it's a national baseball writer. And again, there's the data for, you know, the two-hole being a spot for your best hitter.
Yeah, just because other teams are doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing for your team necessarily.
Correct, but it is interesting. And it goes a little bit deeper, Benny, potentially. I got a DM yesterday after the roundtable. It was from Erica, and she says, I'm watching today's show late, so I can't say this in the chat. This team is so into saying we will do what's required for the team when it comes to the bullpen or the bench pieces. So why doesn't that same mentality follow to our starters like Louis or Dylan? How come Schilt, who I love, can't tell Louis, who I also love? Look, let's move you down, find your mojo without the pressure for the good of the team. Instead, it's feet in the mud, head in the sand, no modifications when it comes to those top dudes. Okay, ran off, just never heard y'all make this argument. And you know, I was thinking more about it too. There are, and Schilt pretty much alluded to it the last interview we had, those are not easy conversations. Darren just said the same thing. There are egos involved. Ben, and I know we say this, oh, it doesn't matter. They're going to be free agents after the season, right? So why are we worrying about the feelings of free agents? On a deeper level, there's reputations involved. How does your team treat players, right? That stuff gets around. It's a very tight-knit community. The fact that AJ never goes to arbitration with the guy, that's a plus for the San Diego Padres. It's an absolute plus. The fact that we're riding for our guys, that Schilt is riding for his guys, putting the faith in those guys, I'd say it's a net plus for the team in the long term, in the bigger picture. There are, and Darren just alluded to it too, there are agents that are like, My man's going to be a free agent. He needs to pitch, and he needs to start, and he needs to be, you know, in the lineup, and he needs to, you know, and there's, you do have to factor some of that stuff in.
I do see what you're saying, and I do think the Padres have created value by being a team that respects their players.
Correct.
And does things the right way and treats their players in the right fashion.
I think the reputation is there, yeah.
At the same time, I don't think there's anybody in that clubhouse who thinks it would be a slap in the face to Luis Arraez to drop him in the order, even though he's won three batting titles. They all see him struggling.
Yeah.
It's not, they all understand. They're trying to win a World Series title, and they all are smart enough and savvy enough baseball players and have been around the game to know it's possible our best chance to win could be by putting someone else higher in the order to get more at-bats. Adam, who's been one of the biggest advocates for moving Luis Arraez in the lineup at our station, off the air, on the air, texting us constantly, made a good point after the roundtable yesterday. He said, all right, well, that game that they lost on Wednesday, 4-3, with Ramon Laureano batting second, because he was batting second, he at least had a chance to come up again in the ninth inning with the tying run on third base. You had your best OPS hitter this season, who is Ramon Laureano, up in that situation. Had he been batting seventh, he would have been five more batters away. Now, it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. He ground it out. Maybe Luis Arraez would have been the right person. That's baseball. But normally, the more chances you give to the guy who has been your best hitter, it's probably a good thing. And in that case, it could have worked out perfectly for the Padres.
And that's what it just boils down to. It's never been a personal thing, right? Ever. I absolutely understand his value to the club. I understand his value to the clubhouse. And I don't. But I see that's not just lip service. You can see that. Anybody that watches this team, you can't tell me, you know, that he's not valued by his teammates.
Correct.
And he's not beloved.
But you also can't tell me that a move now would be met by a mutiny in the Padres clubhouse.
Like, everyone walks and puts their jerseys down.
I'm confused.
This is for Louis.
You mentioned the word feelings, and we're talking about Luis Arraez and feeling like a demotion maybe. How do we protect his feelings? And I understand that that is part of the game for Luis Arraez. What about, like, Ryan O'Hearn's feelings and Gavin Sheets's feelings, who
just because
he's been here all year long?
Just because you got traded doesn't make you any less of a professional, veteran,
all-star,
who deserves the same amount of respect as a guy who's been on your team for the last year and a half.
They're both free agents after this season, just like Luis Arraez. And you think Gavin Sheets isn't hoping to get a little more PT, add a couple of more home runs to his numbers? You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that was playing on a proven deal.
He's got coming up, and, you know, he's got reasons to want to play and be in there just like everybody else does.
David says, you're wrong, Woods. This is a business. You're trying to win a World Series. Feelings, LOL. I didn't say it. Your skipper said it. He said it. He said these are hard conversations.
But
these are not hard conversations for us.
I don't think Mike Schilt is making his decision to protect anybody's feelings. He feels like he's trying to create the feelings necessary to win a World Series. Mike Schilt wants to win.
No question.
No doubt about that. He just believes that creating a certain amount of, you know, respect and culture and what he does in the clubhouse is vital to that winning in the end. And sometimes it requires you to be a little more patient with the guy than maybe a knee-jerk fan would be in terms of making a change to the lineup. And I get that. I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
I do, too. And you know, when more numbers like this come out, you know, from Mike Petriello, again, national writer, not Ben and Woods, you look at it and go, it's hard to justify. And it's hard to justify leaving a Gavin Sheets off if he's swinging a hot bat. So I don't know, man. Paul Adams says, I hope they move Arraez just so 97.3 has to figure out more time, some other way to fill 12 hours of airtime. Me too. Trust me. Believe you me, buddy. I'm tired of talking about it at this point. It's the minutia is driving me insane. But, you know, there are things, obviously, that are out of our control, and hoping for guys to pull out of it, Benny, in a certain spot in the order is, that's not really a great strategy, but, you know, if that's what they do, here's the soup. You have to eat it. Like,
again,
I can
guarantee you that Mike Schilt isn't trying to just make peace and keep things happy. Mike Schilt is making his decisions because he believes that they are what is required to win a World Series for the Padres. And you may not like them. He's not trying to be liked. He's trying to win. He just has a different perspective of how to go about that than someone like Mike Petriello, and a lot of Padres fans do right now.
C20 Moreno says he's going to get, Arise is going to get the winning hit during Game 7 of the World Series, then what? Yeah, I mean, as long as he does it from the 7 hole, I think Padres Twitter and everybody will be happy. As long as he doesn't do it from the 2. I love Louis, and I hope he gets it going. I really do, because I think a hot Luis Arise makes your team infinitely better, and especially in the playoffs, off the very best of the best. The guy does... You know you're not going to get a cave. Like, he's going to go up and he's going to fight every single AB. The guy really wants to win. I love him. I love him. That's the thing. But I also want this team to be firing on all cylinders, and where is the best spot? You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I thought it was interesting, you know, the bigger picture stuff of how guys are treated, you know. Because, again, if you just stick to this, and it's kind of proving every day it could be better somewhere else, that's tough. It's tough to swallow.
Meanwhile, Kevin Acey wrote a piece post, I think, last night about the added depth for the Padres, how they are no longer quite as reliant as they were on the top of the guys in the order having to produce for them to score 5 or 6 runs in a game, because the Padres have been scoring runs even though Manny Machado has been struggling. What was the number? 215, you said, over the last...
Yeah, like 205 or something.
Yeah, 205. Manny's been struggling a little, you know, more than a little bit over the last few weeks. And Kevin Acey, at the start of the piece, tell me if this sounds familiar to you at all, said the Padres have long been dependent on Manny Machado. When he does well, they do well. When he does not, they do not.
Should have filed that trademark, Ben.
You should have. You
but
really?
He didn't say it. He didn't want to phrase it.
He skirted around it.
He skirted around it. Kevin, go ahead. I didn't trademark it. You can write.
As Manny
goes, so go the Padres.
Yeah.
But his point is now, it's less true than it has really ever been since they signed Manny Machado, which is kind of a good thing. They're finally to the point where you have enough productive players in your order that you don't have to say, oh, Manny's slumping. We better win 1-0 or 2-1 because we got no other choice. They can actually score some runs even when Manny Machado is in a slump right now.
They can still contend and hang around without Manny being hot.
They're going to need Manny to get hot.
You still see the difference. I mean, you mentioned it. I think you said it so passively yesterday. I don't remember if it was on the roundtable or on our show, but we were talking about a slug and the home runs, and you're thinking, Manny and Fernando, you both, especially early in the year, like in April, the way that Fernando at least started off the year, you're like, we're looking at a 30 home run season for both of those guys.
Yeah.
That's 60 home runs.
Yep.
They're going to finish at like 40?
I mean, they're at 42 combined. What's Tati at? 18?
18.
They're at 39 home runs right now. So they'll finish,
they're going to finish well below that 60. And you're like, gosh, dang, when you add like Gavin Sheets, who you didn't know what to expect this year, you're like, that's some significant power that you kind of expected and just didn't get.
But these are good. I mean, he says Luis Arraez batting .211 since August 3rd. Padres are 14-9 over that span. Xander Bogaerts, haven't really talked about it. He's kind of hit a slump again. .196 since August 10th. Padres are 9-7 in those games. Jackson Merrill hit .220 in the last 11 games before going on the injured list. Padres went 7-4 in those games. They're finding more ways to win without having their stars be stars, which gives you that little hope that, hey, if all the stars happen to align and produce in the playoffs, the Padres could be a juggernaut in October.
Sure.
We just haven't really seen it once this year.
Yeah.
Maybe very early in the season. Manny was going. Jackson was going.
Toddy was going.
Well, actually, Manny was a little bit less, but Toddy and Jackson were definitely hot early in the season.
Manny got off to a really good start, which was rare. I remember
He got off to a good start.
We're like, he's usually a late.
Since then, they've kind of alternated who's hot for a while and then who gets cold.
Like, Toddy gets hot. Manny stops being hot. Manny's hot. Toddy's not. You know, it's just like at some point it would be great to gel.
But I don't think there's a person who watches baseball who goes, if the Padres all got hot at once, they would be probably the favorites.
Nasty.
probably would be the favorites to win the World Series.
Yeah, I think they're the most complete lineup, 1 through 9. I really do. I say that, and I'm not. That's not homerism. I really do. I look at that, and I think they're the most complete lineup, the most balanced-looking team right now. They need, obviously, you know, more help from their starting pitching, but the bullpen's good. The lineup is good. If they could start firing, Ben, on all cylinders, it would be pretty scary.
Yeah, Darren mentioned, you know, seeing all five of those box score bullpen guys in the game on Tuesday. As an opposing fan, when you know the other team has, like, three nasty relievers coming up and it gets to the seventh inning, don't you feel a pit in your stomach? Like, oh, yeah. We're down two, and we got to face this guy, that guy, and their closer. Well, isn't that what other teams feel when they're facing the Padres and know, oh, we're down 4-1 in the sixth inning.
Yeah,
and they got Adam Morahone, Miller, and Suarez coming up. Let's win tomorrow. Like, I mean, it's got to be very discouraging.
Yeah.
I know baseball players are a little more even keeled when it comes to that. Like, it's just another guy. We'll go after him. But as a fan, I know I feel kind of hopeless when you go up against a good bullpen and you're down late in the game. It's like, ouch.
Yeah, Brash and Munoz. You know, you're like, all right, well, this is going to be tough. And they damn near did it. So we'll see.
Like a taste of our own medicine.
Yeah, a little bit.
Suarez.
And then that other dude they brought in, they pitched like 3 days in a row.
Nasty.
That was nasty. That's why I picked them yesterday. I was really impressed by them.
We still have some Padres tickets to give away. If you've been listening to the program, you'll have an opportunity for a callback to win some Padres Orioles tickets coming up in our next segment. And for the first time this season, college football fans, Ben's super sexy Saturday stink fist schedule.
Yes. Got it in.
College football is coming up next year with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Park 101, multi-level sports bar and restaurant at the Carlsbad Village. Park 101 Sports Bar and Restaurant in Carlsbad. Catch the game with your fellow faithful this weekend as we take on Minnesota while sipping 22 ounces of Estrella Jalisco out of a souvenir bat. Park 101, Carlsbad Village, proud sponsor of the Padres Radio Network. And Paulie will have some headlines with the Rindle Report coming up. We're going to give away some Padres tickets for Tuesday night's game in just a moment. First, though, we've got our first full college football Saturday of the season coming up tomorrow, and I've got my lineup of your best options all day long. It's pretty obvious, actually, for the first game of the season. Do we put some music under this? What do we do with this, Paulie?
We need some music.
College football tunes or something. We can get a fight song going. I don't know. The big game, of course, is the first game. It's the big noon Saturday 9 a.m. game featuring the Texas Longhorns, number one team in the country, Arch Manning against the Ohio State Buckeyes, the defending national champions, number 3 in the country, early start in the horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio. You're not going to see a much better, more anticipated early season college football matchup than that one. It'll also, of course, be
Ben's
a focus.
Sexy music.
Yeah, the Stinkfest music.
That's true. It'll also be the focus of all the pregame shows, including Fox and ESPN's College Game Day show, which will also be the farewell for Lee Corso, having his last hurrah
last,
on the desk with Kirk Herbstreit and everybody.
The last
tomorrow.
Season or the
no,
last show?
He's not even doing the season. They're just bringing him
back for one
final show. And I'm going to say, I've never been a huge Lee Corso fan.
Yeah.
However, his impact on college football has been pretty massive over the years, and he certainly deserves his fond farewell from the ESPN crew.
I respect the hell out of him. I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, it's a little shtick. I'm kind of over it. But no, like, totally hell of a career, and he was a pioneer for the game.
Yep.
By the way, Ohio State last week named Carlsbad High School quarterback Julian Sayin as their starting quarterback for the season, so he'll be going against Arch Manning
Man,
in that game.
What a good one.
All right, the 12:30 game, best one, I believe, is number 8, Alabama, visiting Florida State, unranked. So Alabama favored in that one on ABC. Interesting year. Kalen DeBoer entering his second season now as head coach, replacing Nick Saban. Obviously, the standards at Alabama are almost impossibly high.
Correct.
He did not meet them last year, did not get into the college football playoff. They were the team on the outside looking in. I can't imagine that will be acceptable 2 years in a row. So pretty big season starting out for Kalen DeBoer. for Alabama, and they do so on the road in Tallahassee against Florida State. And then 4:30, you can keep it on ABC. We got two more top 10 teams meeting. Number 9, LSU, meeting number 4, Clemson. Dabo, like Apple.
Apple. A is an
Dabo
apple.
Sweeney. And the Clemson Tigers.
Oh, Brian Kelly against Dabo.
Probably their best team in a while. Preseason top 5 for Clemson.
Yep.
And if you want to really stay up late, you've got an old school, no longer Pac-12 matchup with Utah taking on UCLA. Ooh. Which I believe is now a Big 12 versus Big 10 matchup at 8 o'clock on Fox to wrap up the night.
Yeah, I'm looking through. These look good. You haven't missed many here.
And then, of course, there's Sunday games this week only, including your Notre Dame Fighting Irish and their new starting quarterback, a redshirt freshman,
C.J.
Carr, who is the grandson of former Michigan head coach
Lloyd Carr. I love when they do that.
Seems kind of traitorous.
I know, it does.
Michigan to become the Notre Dame quarterback in your family, but oh well, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it should be.
Marcus and then, Freeman just went in and recruited him away. Maybe Michigan wasn't offering. I don't know.
Carson Beck is your starting quarterback for Miami. I'm not a fan. He's the one that transferred in from Georgia. But yeah, you never know, man. Mario Cristobal is the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. I did see a report. He wants to coach from the box, which I thought was odd. I mean, like, hey, I'll coach Little League from the car. You know what I mean? I want to be there. I need to be around my guys. And I don't know if it's like he's going to do it for a half or something, but for whatever reason, Benny, he wants to be up in the bird's eye view, and which is odd, I think, for a head coach. It's happened before a couple times.
Usually
because of
Ill
injury.
Or
yeah,
COVID
like,
or something.
He had a broken ankle, just coaching on his back. All right, I get it. But I think he's fully healthy.
Is it weird because we don't really see it?
Maybe.
And we're just used to them being on the sideline?
Does it make more sense?
Think about it.
Can you see a lot more?
Do you have a better view from up there?
But don't you need to smell the locker room.
Yeah.
Like Mikey Vera says, can you really have a pulse of your team if you're not down on the sideline?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure
there's pros and cons.
I don't think I would like it very much as a coach. I'd want to be down there screaming at people, and you're allowed to in college football. You can't do it in Little League, as it turns out. But in college football, you can light these dudes up, and I would need to be down there. You get yelled down for get your ass together. Can you tell him to get his ass together, please?
I mean, if you've got
tell
really, Kyle to come up here.
If you've got a really trusted assistant who like knows the team well and knows what you want, and you can communicate with them in a headset like, hey, how's it going down there? All right, you know, light him up, whatever you need to do. I guess you can make the argument, but I think there's a reason why most head coaches are on the sidelines and the coordinators are the ones who are up in the booths.
Yeah, I'm excited, man, for college football is always – yep, this now starts the weekly semi-argument in my home, you know, of like, hey, I'd love to, but I can't because I'm going to want to be watching college football. And, you know, baseball eats up obviously a lot of family time. The family's into it. Bo's a little bit into it, but Hannah, not even a smidge. So this is going to be it starts.
Just quickly, obviously the world of college football has changed so much with NIL
sure.
And now players getting paid directly. Did you see Dion's idea?
Mm-hmm. No. What was it?
So Dion said, and I thought this was actually pretty genius. He said, we should kind of do it like the NFL where, you know, the team that wins the Super Bowl, every player gets a bonus, like $161,000 or something. And I thought, that is absolutely genius because you have the problem in college football that only the stars are the ones who are really getting paid.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that get the big NIL deals. But you can't win a football championship without the linemen and everybody pulling on the same rope. So you're inherently creating this caste system where, yeah, the quarterback's got $2 million at NIL, but the guy who's keeping him alive, the left tackle, is maybe getting $20,000 or something, which totally doesn't seem fair. But
so bonus what? Just the...
Like if you get to the college football playoff, you win the championship, like a series of player bonuses for everybody on the team. Like out of that TV money that they get.
Is that to replace NIL?
No, that's kind of in addition to NIL, but it also would give, you know, the guys who are going to be drafted, you're not going to want to pull out of those games anymore because I got the draft. Hey, no, we win. I can make another $100,000, you know, if we do that for all the players on the field. That was a pretty genius idea by Dion to add that to the mix in college football.
It's just for the playoffs, right?
Yeah, just for the playoffs.
Not every bowl game,
but you could.
But I mean,
you could throw it in. I mean, part of the TV deal for bowls. I mean, they already treat them to all those. gift baskets, but how about your gift basket has, you know, $5,000
sure,
in it for the players?
Sure, cash is great,
instead.
But how many players have, like, opted out of a college football playoff game because of
not
their pro
playoffs,
prospects?
Right. The bowl game.
Maybe
bowl
the Idaho Potato Bowl, yeah, but not, that's true. Not the that's playoffs. True. Playoffs.
All right, it is time. We've got one more pair of Padres tickets to give away for Tuesday's game against the Orioles. It is Manny Machado City Connect Basketball Jersey Night for the first 40,000 fans. You can get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets. Paulie, can you lock all the phone lines for a second?
Yes.
I want to give everyone an equal chance to call in and give the answer to our question from earlier in the show. I'm going to make this very easy. Who was our Friar Friday guest this morning at 7:30? If you were listening, this should be obvious. But if you weren't, then you've got, you know, less chance. 833-288-0973. Unlock now. And the first caller with the correct answer is going to win the two tickets. You can get your tickets at Padres.com/tickets for Manny Machado City Connect Basketball Jersey Night, Tuesday night at Petco Park against the Baltimore Orioles. All right, we'll come back. Rindle Report in our final segment. Anything you'd like to tease for us, Paulie?
Got a story about a former NFL, longtime NFL player who's apparently fallen on hard times.
Okay, that is coming up in our final segment next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, a few of you did not remember that Josh Stein was our Friar Friday guest.
Yep, got to be listening.
2 hours ago. Yeah, maybe you just weren't listening. Or maybe you forgot. You were listening and
so intently.
Totally forgot. We had someone guess Gavin Sheets. It was not Gavin Sheets.
Who's on the afternoon show today?
Ryan O'Hearn.
Ryan O'Hearn
is, I believe, scheduled to be the Friar Friday guest, which is interesting. Talking to Chris Ello this afternoon, who's been pretty strong in his support of Luis Arraez staying in the lineup, but
You can have both now.
You could put both in the lineup right now. I don't know what time that is, but stay tuned this afternoon for your Friar Friday guests. Probably early in the show, considering they're only on until 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because then you got your Sammy Levitt EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 4:10. 5:10 first pitch. It will be Nestor Cortez. Nasty Nestor against Zebby Matthews, the right-hander for the Minnesota Twins in game one of the series. The only other pitcher that's announced, Nick Pivetta, is going tomorrow. I saw TBDs for the Twins for the last two games, and a TBD for the Padres on Sunday. My guess would be Randy Vasquez get called up from AAA, but likely that starter's not on the roster unless they go with the opener, Wandy Peralta, again like they did when Randy pitched against the Dodgers.
Yeah, who's the so you mean like a piggyback?
Opener with Randy. That's what they did when he made his last start against the Dodgers. Yeah. Wandy started, and then Randy was the bulk guy in that game.
So looking at Zebby Matthews, 3-4 with a 5.30. I mean, it's just those guys that just chew the Padres up. throws hard, you know. He's got upper level fastball. Gets a lot of swing and miss. Gets a lot of strikeouts. So boys are going to need to put it in play. Four-seamer, slider, cutter, changeup, curveball, sinker. But he's primarily, Benny, primarily a four-seam slider guy. We'll mix in the cutter 12% of the time, change up 10% of the time, a curveball very rarely 6%, and a sinker about 5% of the time. But, you know, you see these guys changing their pitch mix all the time, right? You saw Dylan Cease throw, like, the nastiest two-seamer that he's thrown all year. You see guys work, you know, all of a sudden busting out a changeup, you know, down here. There's so much tape and film and data on guys now. You have to mix it up. You cannot just go out there like Dylan Cease. He's had to mix it up. And when he did, like when he pitched against the Dodgers, he was really effective. Really effective. Was very effective in his last start until he wasn't. So, you know, when you throw four straight changeups to the nine-hole hitter, that's probably not going to be a good recipe for success. But, you know, you need Nestor. Nestor knows how to pitch. It was really on display the last time he pitched.
Oh, yeah.
He was really mixing it up nicely.
And from the beginning, as opposed to the other starts where he struggled in the first inning and then kind of locked it in, Robin Niebla challenged him, hey, let's be a little more maybe intense or whatever you need out of the gate. And it really paid off against the Dodgers. What, he went 16 up, 16 down?
16 up, 16 down.
Start the game?
Yep.
Very impressive. We'll see if he carries that over against the Twins this afternoon in game one of the three-game series. This hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store and everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 9/13 and save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. Paulie wraps us up with the Rindle Report right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. God, are you laughing, biatch? Still makes
it
me
still
laugh
gets me
every single time.
That guy is off the.
It's been years.
He is off the deep end. By the way, he's on
a lunatic.
He's on Instagram. That dude, and it's not good. It's not good at all.
Are you laughing, biatch?
Leads you into the first round of report story here.
Yeah, we can start there, man. Yeah. We'll start in the NFL. I got a story here about a former cornerback. He played in the NFL for 11 years. The name does not ring a bell.
11 years? Same. He made $40 million his career. I've never heard his name. What is it, Paulie?
His name is Daryl Buster, known Buster Skrine.
Jr. Buster Skrine. Does that ring
Screen?
A bell?
Skrine?
Buster Skrine. Screen.
Started with the Browns in 2011, played there for 4 years, then went to the Jets for a few years, then Chicago for 2 years, played for the 49ers for a season, and the Titans in 2021, and has been out of football since. And yeah, you mentioned his numbers, because I went and looked it up on, I never know if it's
Spot Track.
The NFL Spot Track says that in 10 years in the NFL, he had career earnings of over $40 million. Probably maybe some endorsement money in there
as
well.
A lot of cash, man.
But yeah, he did pretty well for himself, and I guess he spent it all because he has been arrested by police in Georgia this week on 18 counts in an alleged financial fraud scheme. And this is a year after he became a wanted fugitive in Canada.
Oh.
For separate financial fraud cases, he has been going around and using dating apps, mostly Tinder, to connect with women and start talking to women and then scam them out of money, saying that he was having money issues or down on his luck, couldn't get, you know, needed $500 for whatever, and women were sending him money.
I feel like women are smarter than that usually.
I feel the same way.
No, you know, you fall for anything. But women are usually skeptical. Yeah, you're right. You need money? No.
It says here that he used money. Police estimated it to total around $300,000 to, quote, support his lavish lifestyle, including financing Airbnbs, travel, and gift cards.
All right. So if I ask you for money and you give it to me, am I scamming you? Even if I tell you.
It's a good point.
Benny, I'm just, things are tight and they're tough. Can I get $500?
That's not a scam. That's just asking for money.
This is the story that Paulie is presenting to me.
What was he promising in return? If it's nothing, then it's not a scam.
Friendship,
love. You pay him back and
he doesn't. I'll pay him back. All right.
I guess.
So I got scammed recently. I gave the guy my debit card. The bank was like, you gave them your debit card. You didn't get scammed. You're an idiot. And it cost you a pretty exorbitant amount of money. And I went, all right, you're right. You know, honestly, a scam to me was, hey, I'll send you this this baseball card that I have. And then I don't send it. That's a scam.
You just won $100,000 in a sweepstakes, but you need to pay a $500 processing fee to get it. And then you pay it, and they don't send you the $100,000. That's a scam.
Jeffrey says you gave them your debit card. I did. I detailed I detailed all of this on the very first
Off the air.
I told the whole story. It's quite embarrassing, but it can happen, right? So again, can I have some money? Yes.
I'll pay you back when I can.
I'll pay you back when I can. Did I scam
Is that
you?
Legally
you
binding?
Kind of blew my mind here.
It's true, though. Like, I'm sitting here listening going,
ethically, total jerk move.
Ethically terrible move.
Legally. Does it hold up in
Does
court?
Does he have some recourse? I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I'm just telling you. Based on the evidence presented to me by Paulie, maybe he was doing something with technology. I don't know, Dominic says. But, you know, you reach out to somebody that's looking for love on Tinder, and people are lonely, and they want companionship. And then it's like, baby, can you please help me? I am flat broke. I need $500. And he gets it. Is that a scam? If you said, willingly give it up? You got scammed, but is it illegal?
So here's the thing. Whether or not it's illegal, I think it probably is, in a way. I don't know. But it got on the police radar in Georgia is where he was arrested. But it says here he was wanted by police in Canada since last May after his first arrest. And let's see here. Transferred to a Saskatchewan correctional center last April. He was given bail under the condition that he wear a GPS monitor.
Okay.
However, in May, he did not show up for a court date.
Got to show up for
a
court
date. And his GPS thing, it went offline.
Okay.
So he's kind of been on the run.
He's been on the radar for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say this man is innocent. I think he's a scumbag.
No, obviously.
I just wonder. If I ask you for money and you give it to me, did I scam you?
Good question. Yeah. All right, we'll move on.
If you lie about what you're going to use it for,
give me some money.
No, I'm not.
I need a sandwich, and I didn't bring my wallet. Give me $20. I need a sandwich, and I just pocket it, and I don't eat
the sandwich.
The sandwich.
Is that a scam?
Did I scam Ben out of $20?
As long as you don't say I'll pay you back, because if you say you pay him back, you better pay him back.
What's he going to do?
No, sir. Those are IOUs. They're just
they're
as good as money.
Show me the crumbs after you eat the sandwich.
That's
I know what you like. You like Jersey Mike's.
I do.
There's a lot those little
fantasizing about it
right
now.
Those little seeds on the bread fall all over your shirt.
I'm fantasizing about it right now.
All right, we'll switch over to Major League Baseball. Just a quick story here. It's not just scoreboard watching season. It's definitely scoreboard watching season. But you're also watching what is happening with health of some of these players.
Yeah.
You know, I think about last week. You know, look, you don't want anybody to. You don't like seeing people get hurt. But if you're chasing the Phillies and Zach Wheeler's out for the year,
that's a significant
story.
Yep.
And we're talking about the Brewers today. They placed their closer, Trevor McGill, on the 15th yesterday. I think they're still expecting him back later this season and definitely for the postseason run. But how significant of a blow is that?
No, McGill, he's out.
He's
out
of the
year?
I thought they said 15-day IL.
I think he could still come back.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't know. I know that the Brewers, who were the hottest team in baseball, have now lost 4 of 6 and 7 of 11. So they've definitely cooled off a bit. And pitching injuries certainly can be part of that. Their starting pitchers haven't been going as deep either. I think I saw the bullpen throwing like 60 innings in the last 14 days. And they had to pick up like Eric Fetty, who was like really bad.
Really bad.
Continue to be
Louis.
Bad just to fill a spot in their bullpen. So a little lack of depth now, coming to roost with the Milwaukee Brewers.
So yeah, they're saying it's a flexor strain, right? And so they said 15 for sure. It's low grade. They said it's good. It'll take some time to get back to full health.
A lot of question marks.
I know this is a Padres pitcher. Padres fans would go, we'll never see him again.
Never see him again.
That works in other organizations.
Man, that's tough,
dude. Our fans work.
30 saves for him so far. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a blow.
And then finally, I don't have a wacky, goofy, funny story, but there were a few people that reached out to us this morning. They just wanted to hear back Ben's alphabet.
100%.
And I said, that's a great way to wrap up the week. If you missed it yesterday, we played the voicemail that was going on TikTok, and the woman on the phone said, it's spelled P as in
P as
pork.
In pork.
And
pork.
That just sounded weird. It sounded different. Sounded funny, so we had some fun with that and gave you Ben's alphabet debuted yesterday.
A as in all girls all the time. B as in butt cheeks. C as in
champagne Hennessy.
D as in
dang it.
E as in everybody loves a wiener.
Oh.
F as in female autoerotica. G as in ganja, a.k.a. cannabis. H as in hawk tua. I as in
I'm so hot for her, I'm so hot for her.
J as in jizzle. K as in
king gizzard.
L as in loose cannabis. M as in N as in nudie magazines. O as in
oh my god.
P as in
Petco Pork.
Q as in
what is a quahog?
R as in ram it down.
S, as in
stink fist.
Whoa.
T, as in Tommy Lasorda was a great manager. Him and Steve Garvey were good friends.
U, as in
Uranus.
V, as in
Vogel Snitch.
W, as in
weed gummies.
X, like the drug.
Y, as in
yes, 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 yes.
Z, as in
zoot suit.
Now I know my ABCs. Next time, won't you sing with me?
The laugh at the end kills me. And the I like the pause.
The pauses are the same thing.
Clutch.
The pauses were clutch.
It gives you time to laugh.
I still picture
and
break it up a little bit. Phone conversation where someone calls and goes, "Yeah, my name's Tom." And you spell that for me. That's T, as in as Tommy Lasorda was a great manager. He and Steve Garvey were good friends.
O, as in oh my god. You know. Earlier in the year, earlier in the year, one of my close friends, they had a baby girl, and I sent them a gift. And he is a huge Knicks fan, so I sent. They have the baby books. It's like, you know, the history of your sport,
yeah, of
the team, and A is for blank. I need a children's book, an actual like bound book, Ben's alphabet.
Oh,
we need to make this happen.
Oh, we do. All right, gents. Have a good weekend.
Have a great holiday, everybody. We will be back Tuesday morning
yes.
at 6 a.m.
Yes.
Hopefully after
yes.
four
yes.
Padres wins. For Pauly Reindel, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Friday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. Braden up next. So long, everybody.